On this edition of NSFW, we are joined by Joe Owens of LehighValleyLive.com. You might remember we compliment bombed him 2 weeks ago. Now he compliment bombed somebody else. We are also joined by Andrew Main of WeirdThings.com. We carve out a little time for some Weird Things podcast action right here on this episode. And then we try to call down the gods of Twitter, one of our favorite celebrities of all time. Can we get him to pay attention to us? Find out on this edition of NSFW.
Netcasts you love
from people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for NSFW is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is NSFW episode 44 for October 5th, 2010. My phone blew up with gibberish. This episode of NSFW brought to you by Carbonite.com. Head on over to Carbonite.com and sign up for your free trial. And make sure to use promo code NSFW. Carbonite.com.
Welcome to Boners. Fly through our asteroid belt to gain your very own superpower. For example, the precise flatulent. Our internet is so much better, we had to call it Betternet. Admire and envy our most famous landmark, erected Mount of Brody. Always rock solid. Watch the epic battle between the 4chan Alliance and Space Hitler. Bone Earth, where every day there is a double complete rainbow.
Eight equals 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 D.
And with that, that was just go time.
We had dibs on it.
Of course we had dibs on it because it's NSFW, the new show full of wind, the new sauce for the Webernets. We are live and rocking. What is going on, Mr. Justin Robert Young? How are you, sir? Woo!
We are live on a Tuesday night. That video was by Soundwave, and he has won himself the severely undersized sword and laser t-shirt, which I stole from Tom and Veronica at Dragon Con. Thank you to everybody who sent in Bone Nerd stuff. But we are ready to rock on this Tuesday night, Brian.
When we say ready to rock, you're not even kidding. We have so many. We're like that magician on the Ed Sullivan show who's got all the plates spinning up in the air. We got a million things going on. We are joined already live by your friend of mine, co-host and lead dungeon master of the Weird Things podcast. It is none other than Andrew Main. How are you doing, Andrew?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, Brian. Good to hear you. I can't see you, but I can hear you, and that's all that counts.
You know what? That is because I am not sending you video yet, which I will fix immediately while Justin tells us what we can expect from today's show.
Here's the deal, Bri. We have with us tonight the man who is going to really make Compliment Bomb 2 happen. We tried to do it last week, and it failed for a lot of reasons, not the least of which that Joe Owens, the man who was originally Compliment Bombed, will be joining us to launch the second incarnation. We're also going to see if we can extend our powers here. The powers of Chat Realm will be harnessed as we try to call down the thunder from a living legend. And finally, we're going to do a little Weird Things light. Yes, folks, if you're not familiar with the Weird Things podcast, you better get ready to be, because we are going to do a little sample size of what you can expect on that very podcast, along with Andrew Main, our guest.
That's the only problem with titling the show Weird Things. It's like, because then you're going to come into our house and we're going to do weird things all night long. It's going to be amazing.
on top of that, on the NSFW show.
Oh, yes, exactly, Robo. On the NSFW show. We got a Robo Main. Do me a favor, Andrew, call me back and we'll throw you on live. Also, if you could wear the headphones, we're getting some feedback as well. But meanwhile, right. This is perfect because now we have a chance.
I restarted the whole thing here, Brian.
I don't know. I'm sorry, dude. I just dropped Andrew. But meanwhile, we have on the line, we have Joe. What is going on, Joe?
How you guys doing?
Oh my gosh.
Yes!
I am so excited that at how everything rolled out. When we had this idea for this compliment bomb of actually taking all the trappings of everything that's wrong with the internet and trying to create something positive instead, we weren't sure which way it was going to go. We weren't sure if the joke would be gotten or if it would just blow up in our face, as so many things do on NSFW. And if you and Justin, because you guys talk to each other directly, this is the first time we're speaking, I would love to hear how everything broke down. Justin?
Joe, if you can explain kind of what your experience was. Because we know for us, we had the idea to find a random columnist somewhere in America. And hopefully somebody who was not super tech savvy. We would want somebody who was like a tech columnist or anything. And we would all of a sudden bombard them unexpectedly with compliments that would be very bizarre. Like, we wanted to be very, very weird, but we wanted to be very positive. So from your perspective, where were you when you got compliment bombed?
It doesn't get more random than me, by the way. I was sitting on my couch. it was around this time of night, and I don't need to tell you guys that you know exactly when it was.
Exactly.
But, my phone, I get my comments on my blog, go to my email, and my email goes to my phone. So it was actually about, I guess it was a little later than this. It was about 10 minutes to 11. And, I have a blog. It includes my weekly column, and I also write blogs during the week. So I saw the first one, and the first message, which means absolutely nothing to me, said, a cat.
I'm
assuming that means something to you all, right? That means something to us. Somebody named Frozen Tweet left a message that said, a cat. And then there was a follow-up that said, like, almost immediately, that cat was wearing frog pants. or is that not safe for work? And I'm like, what the hell is this? So it was a little unusual because the blog post, as you know, was about a Doobie Brothers concert that was here in Bethlehem, a big event called Music Fest that happens every year. But the post was about a month old. I had written, a couple or half a dozen at least since then. So it's not unusual to get comments on my blog, but it's somewhat unusual to get comments on older ones, fresh comments on older ones. So I'm sitting there, and then suddenly my phone is buzzing incessantly, and I see these comments come rolling in, and it starts with, until I read this review, I hated these guys, then this review inspired me to buy Blackwater, good stuff, man. and it was one after the other after the other. I was telling Justin, I could not scroll up fast enough on my phone to keep up with these messages. So I walked over to my PC at home to see like what was happening on the website. I had expected the website to be melted down or something. I really didn't know what was going on, and I'm just watching this in amazement. And obviously, many of the comments were similar, as you all know.
Yes.
I was never a real huge Doobie Brothers fan, but this article made me think about it. I went out and bought Blackwater. Now, I'm looking at it here. It started at 10:52, and by, before 11 o'clock, I think I had 75 comments.
All right, so...
Yeah,
so
now Joe, by the end of it, what was the final damage, and what did you hear from your website people?
Well, it's funny. There were two comments on it previously from when I posted it. So
yes.
There were two comments there, but there's 152 now. So there were 150 that came in about 40 minutes. Most of which came in about, I would say, 15 or 20 minute span where, like I said, my phone was blowing up. I mean, literally, people say my phone's blowing up. My phone was blowing up.
So, okay.
The next morning, I guess even that night, I think I sent an email to our online editor and our senior producer, and I said, look, I have no idea what this is, but it can't be good.
Well, that's true.
I mean, the thing that got me was the comments were all unique, so it could have been something completely automated. Now, like I said, some of the stuff was gibberish as far as I was concerned. You know,
us as well, yeah.
Perhaps it's NSFW. I'm like, what is that? You know, it's got to be not good, whatever it is. So we had a few theories. You know, we weren't completely sure. And the senior producer said to me, well, should we take them down? And I said, well, you know, I mean, we talked about it some more, and was like, if they're not legitimate, then yeah, let's take them down. So, and I mean,
well, and that was one of the theories that
comments,
I had,
right?
Like at
you
first,
know, I never appreciated. I'm looking at them now. fly over to the Zoom marketplace. One of my friends on my Zoom cast.
Joe, when we were talking on the phone, you said that in the half hour that we had Chat Realm come in and compliment bomb your article, that your Doobie Brothers blog post, which was posted over a month ago at the time that we did it, was the most read article on your website, right?
It was. And it's a 24-hour snapshot that ends at midnight. So this happened in an hour.
So yeah, in about an hour and a half, we had the most read article on your website. And the one thing, since I've been lucky enough to work
down,
in newspapers...
We took them down, and then I heard, speaking of random, from Justin, and he explains this whole thing to me, and I was just flabbergasted, really.
By the way, obviously, we put the
comments back up because they were all legitimate comments from, well, legitimate,
the,
I don't know if that's
way,
the right word.
The way that
but
Justin...
But they were all from the way separate that users. I mean, at one point we thought it was an automated thing, but obviously it wasn't.
Yes. Well, and the way the story was told to me by Justin was that he said that you guys were literally in a meeting trying to figure out what the heck was going on.
Oh, yeah. You get the message. We were totally looking at it. There's no two ways about it. And as I said, we concluded that we would take them down. Unfortunately, we didn't delete them. We just unpublished them. So we were able to put them back up when we realized what it was. And then, of course, I failed to mention, by the way, LehighValleyLive.com is our website, so please all of you rush over and see our website again, because it's a great news website and news, sports, business, and entertainment. As for that plug-in,
absolutely.
Of course, yeah. Dude, they have the Valley covered. Of course, Lehigh Valley right outside of Pennsylvania, about an hour out of there, the Allentown, Bethlehem area.
Yeah.
Now, Joe...
Mm-hmm.
You know how this works. We have decided that the compliment bomb was so successful the first time that we have to pay it forward. We were foolish last week to try and think that we could do it without you. But you, sir, are the dilithium crystal which will make this compliment bomb succeed. I sent to you earlier the column that we have selected for the next target. And if you guys can all see it right now, it is bit.ly/compliment bomb number 3, compliment bomb in all lowercase letters, number 3 at the end of it, and it is another blog post about teenage babysitters getting paid a lot more money than they used to in days gone by. So, Joe, I assume that you have read the article by now, right?
I have. In fact, I've written a comment. I'm ready to hit the send button as soon as you guys are
okay. And what is your compliment on the teenage babysitter blog post?
It is. This woman's name is Denise Dunn. She writes a blog about, it's called Parents Are People Too. she talks about, you know, how babysitters are making big bucks these days. So I have a comment here that says, Denise, great article. Your work on this post will help these young teens make more money. They deserve it.
Okay, so the elements are is that good work on the article, It's going to help young teams. They're going to make more money. And most importantly, they deserve it,
They deserve it.
Well, okay, so with that, we unleash the demon hordes of the NSFW internet, the better net, to run out and to actually try to show some love and be creative. And hopefully one thing Joe got was the wide variety of all the different types of comments that you got. And I'm glad that while there was certainly an awkward moment when you thought you were being punked or that this was something cruel, I'm glad that eventually you figured out that it was all done out of love to pay it forward and make the internet a slightly better place. Thank you so much, Joe.
Yeah, as you know, by the way, I did want to follow up. I just mentioned I wrote a column and a blog post on this this whole event, and that also has a bunch of comments on it. It's a great article, Joe, and it would be great if you made an appearance on the NSFW show. So here I am. the Steaming Cup of Joe is the name of my blog, as you know.
My favorite part about the whole thing was that the first two or three responses were clearly NSFW show fans, and they were responding in the same format as they used to compliment bomb you, saying, "Great article, Joe." At first, I wasn't a fan of NSFW show, but after reading I'm going to have to buy Blackwater. Right. Well, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it, Joe. Have a good one, man.
All right, guys.
All right, take care. Take care. Oh, my God, it actually worked, Justin. We pulled it off, man. Come on. How huge is that?
There we go. We are getting word that the servers of the state, the stateonline.net, which is the paper which we are going after right now, is currently going through a few... some server issues where the compliment bomb is straining their servers. So please be patient. Don't keep reloading. We will try and get as many of these as we can. We want to get over 200 comments by the end of the episode. So compliment bomb 2, officially compliment bomb 2, because we're not counting last week when we kind of screwed up, will go absolutely successfully. And Denise Dunn will join Joe Owens as the only two people in the history of the planet to get compliment bombed by ChatRealm.
Yeah, no, and let me tell you, dude, I can't believe we're pulling it off, and I can't believe people get that it's just we're just trying to spread some love, dude, right?
There we go. Now people are already commenting or putting their comments in the chat room. You are so correct. These good young babysitters need to be paid more. $100 an hour is not enough to pay my new sitter, but it is worth it to protect my child from night attacks. So there we go, folks. Please, again, do not keep reloading this page. If you're listening to this on the podcast, please go ahead to bit.ly/complimentbomb3. Number 3, compliment bomb, all in lowercase. Let's keep this gosh darn party going. And by the time that Denise Dunn wakes up in the morning, her post will be the most read thing on this website. I guarantee you.
You know what we are? We're the Santa Claus of the internet is what we are. We're climbing in your windows. We're sneaking up and we're giving you presents. That's what's great about the compliment bomb scenario.
Exactly. The compliment bomb is, imagine if somebody was walking down the street and then all of a sudden somebody dropped down after they were hanging from a street light and just said, "Ah!" and then like complimented them on their blouse and walked away.
But like did it in a weird way, like, "That's a very attractive blouse. It flatters your figure nicely." And then he's gone.
"The Amber Hughes accent your hair.
Is that Prada?"
"I didn't think that you could afford such nice clothing." Wait, that's not a compliment at all.
Oh, yeah, come on. This isn't backhanded compliment bomb, Brian.
Okay, look, let's move forward here, man. What do you have on time? You had a rather ambitious game to play for our second journey.
Oh,
into
my
crazy
God.
Land.
And this one, I'm going to have to go ahead and give Andrew full credit for the spark of inspiration. So maybe, you know what, Andrew, I will only preface the plan with this. We here at NSFW have tried, no matter what, to keep our chat realm, the people who watch live and who listen to it afterward, we want to keep everybody involved, and we feel this is a collaborative process. Now, sometimes we try to push chat realm farther than others. This will probably be the most ambitious thing we have ever done with chat realm.
Yeah, now, and first of all, look. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're very flattered to have Joe Owens appear on our podcast. He's certainly way above us in the scheme of things, but we would call him a lesser demigod in the great realm of the pantheon of internet legends. Right? We're going after one of the big. We're talking about Zeus. We're talking about Hephaestus. We're talking Bacchus. Maybe some mixture of those three. This is a big one. But before we do. I do have breaking news. Adrian Brody has commented on on the article. He says that no one could wonder how much kids love Sundays. There's something about Friday and Sunday that kids love. We love kids and we like to see them grow up and be tall and stuff. Adrian Brody. Okay, so all right, just spill it, Justin. Tell
I'll just say this. Listen, this may work. This may not work. We're gonna go on this adventure together. Andrew Main, can you please explain what we're going to try and do?
We had several conversations. Is this involve the banjo?
This
guy?
Is the banjo. This is Project Banjo.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the name of it.
You know, one of our a hero to Brian, Justin, and myself just recently came onto Twitter, and this guy, one of the most formative individuals in our upbringing, our outlook on our life, our career paths, everything. This man is, we hold him with the same sort of reverence we would with a founding father, Thomas Jefferson, but he's alive. He is alive.
Which makes him better than Jefferson, better than freedom itself, better than the founding fathers. He's one of the founding fathers of comedy and magic. How about that?
Absolutely. So there that, of course, is Mr. Steve Martin, who is on Twitter now. And Steve Martin is absolutely a Renaissance man. Somebody said on Twitter a while back, oh, you know, I heard one of my friends like, oh, there, you know, who is there any such thing as a Renaissance man anymore? And I'm like, well, they all kind of died off in the Renaissance, but
except for one who found the Fountain of Youth and kicked Cortez between the legs and has survived to become one of the greatest comedy magicians of all time.
Yeah, and if you have not read Born Standing Up by Steve Martin, I don't want to know you. I don't want to know you. If you have any aspirations to be in entertainment or can read. And it's Brian, great book.
No, you guys hammered me on it. Like, that was the first time stuff got weird. We were all hanging out online. It was like, oh, yeah, I like audiobooks. You like audiobooks, you know, Audible, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's just like, you know, Born Standing Up, you should read it. I'm like, ah, well, you know, I don't know. I don't, you know, sure, maybe. And then it's just like, I will physically kill you unless you watch Born Standing Up in the next 2 weeks. It was my version of The Ring. All of a sudden, the phone rings, and I pick it up, and Andrew Maid's just like, 7 days. 7 days. So I clearly had to read the book, right?
And then meanwhile, like, you see he's on Skype and he's whispering 7 days, but he's an arrow through his head, you know.
And that's pretty much what it was like. And it was, dude, it was so great. And here's what's amazing. Not only is Steve Martin an amazing character, an amazing person, and his story is amazing, but I was shocked at how many parallels there were to what I did. I mean, he dug magic, but wanted to connect with a larger audience, and he had bits that were successful, and he didn't know how to move forward. I mean, it was amazing. It was an amazing story.
Absolutely. Now, here's what we want to do, folks. We want to welcome Steve Martin to Twitter in an interactive fashion, and the idea that Andrew had, which I agree with, and Brian has signed off on, is we will be politely asking him en masse to play the banjo for Twitter.
That's right. Play us a, hey, Steve, come on. Just play us a little of the banjo. Give us some of the BJ. Ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding. You know, he is a world-class banjo player. I mean, he is known for his writing. He's a fantastic writer. He's a great comedian. He can be a great actor. And he loves to play the banjo, but it's banjo, but it's one of those things. I pronounce the Spanish version of it.
El baño. By the way, somebody, Taxi Cap says, but Steve Martin is way more talented than Scam School Brown. You know what? Gravity works, and math works, and welcome to calculus. I mean, it's
water
just like,
is
look,
wet.
It's like, yeah, the sky is blue. What else you got for me? You know,
Bonnie
any other
tells
earth
Brian
shaking
this every night when he goes to sleep.
Yeah, exactly, dude. It's just like, dude, that's the whole point, is of course he's a million times more talented than the three of us put together. He's freaking Steve Martin. Are you kidding me? And by the way, I am being informed from the chat room that apparently he's a fan of Leo Laporte. Apparently he actually follows Leo Laporte, and somebody says there's the outside chance, which I don't believe, but there's
the
outside chance.
By the way, he just tweeted half a minute ago. He's near Twitter right now.
He's reading his... He's snatching his Twitters up. He's...
Go, now is the moment.
Can you throw his Twitter ID up on the screen there?
Yes,
for the
it is. It is Steve Martin to go. That's right. So I'm going to go ahead and type it right now. We'll go put it on air. Twitter.com/Steve Martin to go. And everybody just say, hey, man, the internet would love to hear a song if you want to join us. If you want to
play us the banjo.
Play us the banjo.
Yes. And
be
should
clever.
We, should we do hashtag Operation Banjo?
Or how about banjo tweet? Well, how about banjo tweet? Banjo tweet?
Andrew?
What do you say? Banjo tweet? Or do you got something else?
No, I think that's fine. I can't think of anything clever, so...
Banjo tweet. There you go. Banjo tweet. All right, let's do it, man. Let's put the word out.
And like, you know, maybe you can bargain with him, too.
What would anyone do?
One note.
Oh, there we go. I'm sorry. I had an internet hiccup. I you guys froze up for a second. You said bargain with him and do what?
You know, all we're asking for is... Chord, a little tweet.
Just a chord. Yeah. Let's give us a just hop on and be all like bling. There you go, internet.
There we go.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.
That's not too much.
People are saying, oh, you should mention Twit. Apparently he's fans of Leo Laporte. Work every angle, people. We're not saying to do it one way. We're saying by any means necessary. This is basically what Malcolm X was talking about. Getting Steve Martin to play banjo on Twitter.
I'm sorry, did you just say this is what Malcolm X was talking about?
Yes. Malcolm X, famous civil rights leader, said by any means necessary, we need to get Steve Martin in 2010 to play banjo for the NSFW show on Twitter. Very clear.
You know what? I can almost picture him saying, like, you know, whatever our problems are now in the 1950s and 60s, I would imagine that in 2010 they'll have different problems. They'll be looking for a man who's very entertaining to play a banjo on something called the internet, which I predict will be a global interconnected network of computers. That's what you're saying Malcolm X said.
Malcolm X predicted the internet. He predicted Steve Martin, the banjo, our show, me, you, Andrew, and this banjo tweet. Hashtag banjo tweet.
Banjo tweet, right. You know, it's too bad. He probably should know where this is coming from. If, you know, because on the off chance, and I'm not saying there's any chance that this would occur, but like, you know, if ring-a-ding-ding, all of a sudden it's, you know, Steve Martin calling to do it live, that would be amazing, but that's not going to happen. But, you know, make sure in your tweets to you can mention where this upswelling of enthusiasm for seeing Steve Martin play the banjo for the internet came from.
There we go.
That would be huge.
Come on, folks. All right. Now, also, I do want to keep an update on our compliment bomb. Again, listen, this is a very chat realm heavy episode of NSFW, and I thank every single person who watches live. If you were listening to this on a podcast, you want to watch live Tuesdays, 10 p.m. on the Twit Network, live.twit.tv. Right now, we are apparently we've crashed the state online server.
You got the bomb part down.
So like we're walking around just flinging roses everywhere, and we're just there's so many roses that the buildings are collapsing around us. We're like, yeah, spread that love. Take that, sucker. I've been stabbed in the eye by a thorn. You're like, we love you.
Poked their eye out.
Everybody knows, stop refreshing to see a fave come up. Let's give them some time to reset, and then we will hopefully...
While you're not refreshing, I think the thing that I look forward to finding out is, what are these young girls and maybe boys going to use this babysitting money for? Okay, maybe mention that in your comment. Also, what kind of line of work or occupation are you keeping them out of?
That's a good one. Remember, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Exactly.
Are they going to maybe go to Bone Earth with this money to save up for a ticket?
I believe it, dude.
And by the way, people being wise, no, this is not a compliment, DDoS.
Just trying to
tell people that we really like her blog post.
Could you imagine they're trying to transact business? And it's like I always love the metaphor of like trying to picture what this means in real life, where it's like somebody is trying to conduct business, and meanwhile somebody standing right next to the register is like, "You're really pretty. You look great in that hat. That shirt really compliments your eyes nicely." And you're like, "Yeah, thank you, but I'm trying to." And 4, 5, 6, 7, and 10. There you go.
Pretty girl like you's got to have a boyfriend, right? Yeah. You know, Steve Martin only follows 12 people, and of that, 8% of them are Leo Laporte.
Wow, that's amazing to put it together. By the way, suggestions for the chat room, it'd be like saying, "You make really good coffee. You got a pretty, pretty mouth." That's not creepy at all. All right, look, I want to get into our big bit, but of course, we got to take a moment to thank the sponsors, the people who make NSFW possible. Justin, I bet you can't guess who we got today.
I actually can, Brian.
Nope, no, you can't. Try me. Go. Guess who made it possible. Go for it.
Pan American Airlines.
No, because they don't exist. That's not a real company.
Was that body laughing?
That was body.
Is that body that is getting laughing. Break body up she's, on the Pan American Airlines
she
joke?
She snuck over to watch up close because we were talking about Steve Martin. And Bonnie's got a thing for Steve Martin. And then all of a sudden, what she didn't expect was that we would actually be funny. She thought she was insulated. She was unprepared
that really
for the
can catch somebody
humor.
Off guard, guys. I'll be honest with you.
Right. So, no, it's not Pan American Airlines. You got another one for us?
It may or may not be Braniff Airlines.
Trey and Matt, creators of South Park, owners of the Braniff name, not our sponsors.
That's not a real airline?
Not anymore. I mean, it is a real company because apparently they end all their shows with the Braniff. They apparently bought it for $50.
They didn't even buy it because I think they just used it because once it filed for bankruptcy, the company was dissolved. They just used that. They just used the logo.
That's even better. I assumed that they just bought it for like $50 or something. That's awesome.
Apparently, Comedy Central said, "Oh, what do you guys want to use for your end logo? And what can you use? Like, well, anything." And they're like, "Oh," and they're like, "Well, you know, Braniff would like at the time when it went bankrupt, they thought in Colorado that was hilarious or something." I mean, if you're smart enough to create South Park, I guess you find humor in places that are way beyond us. They just said, well, let's use that. And so they said it. That's what, if you watch the end video, you notice it's like a VHS copy of the
Braniff
commercial.
Yes, it clearly is. It clearly is. Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's what made me think that they had actually paid for it because I didn't think that they would get away with it, you know, with Comedy Central. But that's awesome, man.
I remember when I first saw it, I kept wrapping my head around, what does a cartoon need air travel for? You know, why is Braniff sponsoring this?
That's awesome. All right, Justin, you got one more guess for us?
Yes, Brian, I do believe it's Carbonite.com.
Nope. I love your frozen like, Brian, this is clearly a bit we're doing, and then you're acting like it's not Carbonite. Yes, of course it's Carbonite.
Yay!
Of course it's Carbonite. Listen, I mean, here's the thing. Like, look, I love this episode, right? I love doing NSFW, and they're all on my computer. But the point is, I could get struck by lightning. Steve Martin could come and do one banjo riff, and the sound waves could explode my house. And guess where all these episodes would live?
In heaven.
Bone Earth?
That's just it. Unfortunately, as much as we love Bone Earth, it turns out Bone Earth, a little bit imaginary.
No, it's not. It is a beautiful, real place, Brian. And one day we're going to get a space ark. We're all going to live there forever. We're going to be a family.
Yeah. You know what we do to people who don't believe, Brian?
I'm sorry. You know what? That's a very good point.
As Andrew brandishes a
little replica
dagger.
Lord of the Rings swords, and we threaten them with it.
Look, I mean, here's the thing. We all know that when we live on Bone Earth, we will never have to worry about our data. All of our data will magically be backed up to the cloud automatically. We won't have to lift a finger because nothing will be lost in Bone Earth. It's already been decreed by the three kings of Bone Earth. But you know what? For now, we live on regular Earth. And that's kind of boring. It's a bit of a bummer. And so how do you plan to... Justin, I mean, look, we all know you can make stuff work with the Carbonite. What do you say, sir?
All right, here's the deal, Brian. There's a lot of very, very important things that we like to back up on our daily lives, like pictures, important contacts from people, around town in your life. You know, let's documents, say...
Legal documents? You know,
legal documents. Let's say plans, schematics, all the research you have to create a clone army that eventually you're going to overthrow the government with. Stuff that you can't really trust to a regular hard drive system. Sure, you could have a hard drive farm and just have as many of them as you would have clones, which you would one day seize strategically positioned government and federal buildings until you took control of the nerve cells that run this very economy and government. You know, you could have all of them just sitting right there, but it wouldn't do you a lick of good if the feds came in, gassed your family, and stabbed them all with a bloody knife. That's why you need Carbonite.com. Yes, folks, keep your plans for growing an army made out of clones for which you would use biological material that you would find in the back of a warehouse. Maybe this warehouse.
I'm going to take this back just a moment. I have a question for you guys. I don't mean to interrupt your little infomercial here, okay?
Yes.
Let's say this Carbonite thing. You say this is valuable. This can help me back up stuff. Okay.
Yes.
We have floods in Florida. Now, I'm on the second story here, but if I get a flood and I use Carbonite, am I going to be okay?
Oh, of course you are. First of all, let's back this. I mean, you're right. I mean, of course, let's back this conversation up to Carbonite, all right? First of all, it sounded suspiciously like, Justin, you were describing the plot to Star Wars 2, The Clone Wars.
Never seen it.
it sounded suspiciously like except for the part where he gets stabbed with a bloody knife. That was confusing to me. But everything else.
Listen. Okay, whatever. You want to say it sounds like the plot of episode 2, Attack of the Clones? Well, I think that's a little ridiculous, and I can give my friend who looks like a gigantic blob face who runs a diner to let you know that this is completely an original idea, and I've taken it from nobody.
Okay, all right, that's fine. But, all right, so you're saying that the Emperor from Star Wars 2 Attack of the Clones should have backed up his data plans on Carbonite. Is that really what your thesis is?
I mean, he could have. Sure, you know, maybe if he would have done that old pesky Obi-Wan Kenobi sniffing around with his big fat nose and dumb beard wouldn't have got wind of his beautiful, perfect plan.
Oh my God! Okay, so what you're saying is, if you're a diabolical, conniving, backstabbing senator who has aspirations to become an emperor over the known galaxy, the best thing to do to back up those plans is to use Carbonite. And you're saying all this because Carbonite is the number one backup utility that automatically takes all of your vital information and backs it up to the cloud. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to look at it. You don't have to remember, oh, I guess it's time to update the blah de blah, because every night it takes all your little changes. Let's say last minute you're like, oh yeah, BT dubs, maybe maybe the night before the attack at Yavin, or on Endor, the forest moon of Endor, right? So the night before, all of a sudden he wakes up and he's got his plans, right? And he's just like, oh, I just had this weird dream that Vader totally betrayed me. I got to remember, don't trust Vader, right? And so he types it down. And then the next day, you know, his Mac crashes and they're like, bad news, sorry. And he's like, well, I had a file. I'm sure it'll come up at some point, right? And then bada bing bang, your whole empire is gone, all because you didn't back it up with Carbonite. Is that what you're saying?
And more specifically, you didn't go to Carbonite.com/NSFW and got a special deal that's just here for listeners to NSFW up to and including Senator/Emperor Palpatine.
Exactly. So that's the whole thing. So first of all, for those of you who don't know, just to make it very clear, Carbonite.com automatically backs up all of your vital data. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to work on it. You don't have to do anything. Back it up safely and securely, redundantly to the cloud, so your data is safe. And the best part is, if you head on over to Carbonite.com and use promo code NSFW, not only will you get a discount, I do believe, I'm saying without having refreshed the read of that I looked at the other day, but I'm pretty sure you get a discount. And most importantly, you keep NSFW in business, because as much as Justin Robert Young tries to absolutely destroy any chance of success with this little operation we call NSFW, with his rude, potentially racist, certainly classist, absolutely criminal reads, the fact is The folks over at CarmenKnight.com seem to be amused by Justin Robert Young's antics, so it's up to you guys to use that promo code NSFW to keep us in business. You got anything else you want to add, Darth Justin?
CarmenKnight.com, preferred by SITS, 2-1.
I hate you so much. By the way, chat room is screaming. It was very difficult to get through that entire sponsor read, and we really do thank the folks over at CarmenKnight.com, and we're glad that you guys have a sense of humor. But it was hard to get through it because the chat room was exploding with saying that Steve Martin just tweeted. Is that what I heard? It wasn't about us, was it?
Played poker when I arrived in Reno. Now trying to buy the band back for the show tonight. Could
he's
the
on
band
Twitter, folks.
Be the backup band for his banjo playing for us that he's getting ready to tweet to us?
You know what? Actually, wouldn't that be amazing, right? I mean, that's so he's just tweeted, which means he's looking at his phone and he's got to notice when everyone is repeatedly asking, play the banjo for the internet, specifically
and
for the internet.
We get
that you're doing other shows. We get that you got big things going on. Just play us a song. Come on, man. We're your fans. We're your buddies.
Ding, ding, ding.
Give me that. Yeah, you know what? To be honest, it could be bing, and then we're happy. We got a song. We got that one note. That's we only need the one note.
Now, listen, folks. Remember, this is not a pushover. You know, I think we are really in two diametric opposites here. We had the state online, which obviously was not equipped to handle the kind of traffic that we sent their way, and then we have Steve Martin, who's getting probably 20 at replies every time that he puts something up. So we need to harness. Chat room. I call to each and every one of you. We need to keep up our campaign.
I picture we're on this desolate plane, and then Justin pokes over the horizon, silhouetted against the gray skies behind him, and he goes, "Chat room, I call upon thee." And all of a sudden, just the hordes of the internet come running forward. That's what you're saying, right?
Exactly. And people are saying, "Oh, man, I don't think a big star like Steve Martin looks at his at replies." Well, he probably has a PR person that does. So, here's the deal. No matter what, if he's looking at it, if somebody else is looking at it, and people are saying, like, you know, hey, man, what's the deal on Twitter? You know, everybody's having you to play a banjo thing. That's what
By
we
By the
need.
Way, like on all of our gravestones, we could put that collectively, you know, Brian Brushwood, devoted father, husband, jackass, and then real footnote, it'll just say,
not in that order.
He inconvenienced Steve Martin once. Like, we could share that on our tombstones, our legacies for years to come. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, right? You guys aren't getting buried together?
Who? Me and Steve Martin or me and Justin?
No, you and Justin. You said your tombstones. We just did sort of assumed. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Okay. Right. Yeah, no. Right. We share a lot of things, but not a tombstone, dude.
I'm going to get buried on top of Steve Martin, and that's before I die. I'm just going to just lie on top.
No, it's after the warehouse fire when I test out carbonite.
All right, so let's do this. Now that we're in a unique opportunity here because we actually have Andrew Main. For those of you who don't know, Andrew Main is the lead host of a show called WeirdThings.com. Weird Things is currently featured on iTunes. If you don't listen to Weird Things, you absolutely
Thanks
need
to. Thanks to this guy.
It is a very, very... we're so simultaneously smart and retarded at the same time. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean,
but not in equal portions.
No. It is the smartest, stupidest show you will ever listen to because Andrew is one of the smartest guys in all of skepticism. He knows backwards and forwards. He's personally been in charge of the James Randi $1 million challenge to qualify people to apply for the challenge. This guy knows his science. There's a reason he's psychotic for the singularity, right? Me, I'm very enthusiastic about stuff at the paranormal. Justin is Justin. And the three of us together, I think, make a very interesting scenario where it's like, for us, it's not about is Sasquatch real? The question is, how would you take him in a fight, right? Yeah, and we try to be as scientific as we can in our analysis of these things. So we thought it'd be fun.
Morons.
For those, we're total idiots. We're totally idiots, right?
Wow, were we dumb.
So what we wanted to do is actually try some Blitz Quiz style mini Weird Things scenarios with you guys in charge. Traditionally, it's up to Andrew and the folks who write us at Weird Things Show. Is it Weird Things Podcast?
WeirdThingsMail@gmail.com, which, of course, everybody's always welcome to send it to. But tonight, we are going to have you guys do a little Twitter scenarios, just at reply WeirdThingsCom. We've already got a few that are already in here, but write at WeirdThingsCom with a scenario, and we're just going to try and pound through them.
Tweetnarios, Justin.
Tweetnarios. Of course. Tweetnarios. So we want it. We want your tweetnarios. Now, traditionally, what are some of the examples in the past that we've tackled? We had. We certainly dealt with zombie apocalypses.
We done zombie apocalypses on the last show. Brian was put into a position.
We had a little bit of a lag up here, and I'm sure at any moment they're going to snap back. I'm sorry. Say it again. We had a bit of a lag. You said Brian.
Had his young daughter all of a sudden come into his room and said, "Daddy, there's something in my room." And Brian ignores it because he is a callous and awful father. Then it happens again, and then she reveals that she's actually being bitten. Which Brian just totally ignores and says, "Please,
I thought it was mosquito bites."
And to find out by what it is, gotta tune into the podcast.
Exactly. So, and this is a lot of the stuff that we go over are complete, fabrications. But most of it is real stuff that is happening in the world, and we you don't know what it is as we go through it. So. There we go. Weird things out of the podcast.
That's actually one of my favorite things is because when Andrew sets up a scenario, I never know if he's just being playful and wondering with rampant speculation or if at the end of it he's suddenly going to say, "Oh, yeah, by the way, this actually freaking happened." That's one of the best parts.
Ghosts are real.
No. But certainly the experiences like – With the thing with my daughter, I was totally thinking supernatural explanations or whatever, and it turns out when you listen to the podcast, it's a very real, very visceral, very understandable situation. All right, so, Justin, do we have any scenarios coming in that we'd like to explore in our short time?
We certainly do. This one comes in from the magician. And this is just a little appetizer just to get, we're going to get the wheels greased here. He says, so one day Andrew discovers oil underneath the warehouse. Does he sell it and get rid of Justin for the money, or does he stay true to the magic realm and allow me to continue blogging for iTricks and weird things and doing NSFW? And just to go ahead and maybe goose this one up a little more for the weird things audience, let's say it's not just oil. Let's say it is a new fuel.
It's the spice. It's Frank yes. Herbert's The Spice is discovered underneath your warehouse.
Which was a metaphor for oil.
I know. That's why I said that's why I said The Spice. And you called me out. Go ahead.
So there we go. Go ahead, Andrew.
We have a problem, and this is a wrinkle, and that is that we lease the warehouse. So if we're going to sort of want, if I'm going to want to run some sort of operation where I'm sneaking that oil out of there and selling it out the back, and you got to remember crude oil by the barrel, you're on average only going to get like 30 or 40 bucks for the whole barrel.
Crude spice by the crouton.
Spice. Okay.
Spice is sold in crouton.
Oh, okay, spice. Yeah. Sorry, Brian. Exactly. Right. Okay.
Hello, ladies. Welcome to Crude Spice.
Okay.
This
I'm going to like, take all
Old
that
Spice,
spice
is out of
my...
business. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to just take in that spice myself and become the Kwisatz Haderach and like just become your new God King Emperor. And if Justin's going to get in my way, I'm going to use my
You're
going to
use the orc shake. By the way, I take this to mean like this is the vision you have in your mind, but like instead what it turns out is the spice is awfully similar to crystal meth, and you're just snorting it, just going nuts, just crazy, just like, "I'm going to become the Spice King. I'm going to kill you all."
Remember what was it, the Chevy Chase movie, Modern Problems?
Yes.
Chevy Chase gets like all this toxic waste dumped on him, and he gets strange powers, and then there's like, somebody decides that the maid decides that he's possessed, so she takes like a bunch of white powder and circles it around the bed, and it's like best scene ever in movie. Is he's on his knees, he just goes, it just like he slides across the floor without moving his knees. Just
yes, and he totally
pretty
did.
Much
and
what, exactly.
And what's funny is like I saw that at the age of I was in first grade, and it was in heavy rotation on HBO. So I had no idea what any of this meant, and I was just like, "All right, so that's apparently what you do when somebody pours salt around your bed." Is apparently you go around and snort.
Oh yeah. Well, my brother and I prematurely were making cocaine jokes without realizing it when we saw that. That'd be the funniest thing at the dinner table. To take lines of sugar and just like go along and blow it out of the way.
Look at
and, like,
me, Mom.
We did.
I'm Chevy Chase.
Yeah, my dad, who is a federal agent, who arrests drug lords and cocaine lords, was not maybe as amused by it as we were. But back to the question: if it comes down to it between me becoming like just you being able to insanely wealthy or and getting rid of Justin, I mean, firing Justin, Justin's my man. Justin's going to be, he's going to be helping me, you know, pack the stuff up and ship the spice melange outside of there. Okay.
So,
he's going to be my Gurney Halleck. All
it,
right.
It all boils down to the fact that you don't want to actually have to pack the stuff yourself. You're like, I still need somebody else to lift this crap. So no.
Yeah. Well, no, this is what would happen if Andrew fired me to get to the spice. I mean, woo! I'm rich. Get out of here, dead weight. It's spice time. Now, anyway, calls me up, Justin, we're going to need to get all this spice out of here. You need to start calling people to buy it. You know, can you get back over here? Anyway, I just fired Justin, so you don't have to worry about him.
So you're saying there's a total disconnect where it's like he's going to get done what needs to get done and then immediately rely on you to get done what needs to get done, right?
Exactly. So I know, I think that there would be, and I think this is something that people might not realize, is that we have a very fluid empire here at iTrix HQ. You know, there's a reason why we can go from, you know, selling fine magic wares at andrewmain.com to doing a blog at iTrix.com to doing a Weird Things podcast. You know, I don't think it'd be very hard for us to go from multimedia empire to spice traders.
Yes. Okay.
Every diagram I do of some sort of plan or business plan or idea or notion, there's an arrow that points towards Justin, and it says, make happen.
Yeah, Justin, to up the number of parallels, it's like, there's a reason we call it Charlie work. There's a reason we call it Justin work, is all I'm trying to
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
All right, we have another one that comes in from East Meets NW. Of course, East Meets Northwest, but he is at East Meets NW on Twitter. One of us has died. How do the other two go about contacting the lost soul?
Oh, this is a great one. Okay, so like...
So first we have to decide who dies. Not it.
So Andrew died.
Woo-hoo! High five, Brian.
High
five at the germs.
All right. So, I'm sorry, Andrew, we're going to need you to float like a ghost or just kind of amorphously do this for the rest of this scenario, if you don't mind, because it is visual. Or unless you have a, I think Andrew just actually died. Actually, if you could use one of those filters that you have to make you look like you're coming from the beyond, that would be great.
Andrew sells the bit, folks. Let it never be said that he does not sell the bit. All right, so here's the deal, Brad.
Yeah.
Andrew's dead.
Yeah.
And obviously, we cannot do this podcast without him.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the whole problem. Is like, on the one hand, I'm like, I'm glad it wasn't me. I'm glad it wasn't you. I mean, I'm sad it was Andrew, but now he's gone. Who's going to play Dungeon Master for our Weird Thing scenarios? And here's a crazy theory. Let's keep him as the Dungeon Master. I hear him chuckling from the grave. We just do
it's
it.
Working, Brian. It's working.
we just do it remotely, right? He still runs the scenarios, but it's like I guess the obvious answer is a Ouija board,
or maybe a
dowsing pendulum or something.
Brian, did somebody crap on your brain? That's the dumbest idea ever. Here's what we do. Enough of the whole crazy mystic hoopajoo. We need to get his brain and bring it to some experimental science research and plug his brain and kind of re-energize it so it's computer Andrew. That's what we need. We forget about trying to find him in the great beyond. We got to go this, like, men of mad science.
That's idiotic. First of all, that can't work. And if Andrew were alive today, he would explain the science of why that's the dumbest idea he's ever heard.
Oh, I'm sorry. And Ouija boards. That's your solution. Your solution is let's get Brian and Justin on a little cardboard table and have tremble fingers and pretend that Andrew's trying to...
I'm just saying that, and by the way, I did not pause you. That was the internet lagging you out just then. But I'm just saying that there at least is a historical precedent to the Ouija board, and it's a reliable way to get some letters out of Andrew. You're saying grab some electrodes and just plug it in so you fry. You're going to get a cooked brain is all you're going to get out of that.
No, I'm saying we do some research, but we just keep his brain on ice or maybe dry ice because it looks cool.
because at least we'll have the billows of smoke coming out as well. Chat room suggested we should have BillyWitchDoctor.com take a look.
Andrew, who let's say by hook or by crook, we brought Andrew back to life. And Andrew, what do you think about process
using a Ouija board? I say,
oh, it's
Andrew,
dumb. No, Andrew, it's stupid.
Andrew, answer us. Why? How? What do you think we should do to contact you so you can continue to do all the hard work on weirdthings.com?
Brian, Justin, if you guys are getting this, this is a recorded message that I have timed to play in the event of my death, okay? Because I know you guys aren't going to figure out by yourself how to get hold of me. Now, the connection's just a little bit rough here, but let me explain to you what you need to do to get hold of me, okay? I'm fading away. That looks like, oh, wait, I can see through the veil. Okay, here's what I want you to do, and it's the nature of the connection. I'm floating around kind of in a silly way. Here's what I need you to do to get a hold of me, okay? Is my body fresh?
Yes!
Wait, my how are we answering a pre-recorded message? I'm sorry, yes.
I just like it's talking to the screen.
It's a rhetorical question, Brian. It's a rhetorical question, and I read you guys like a piece of silly string. You're not hard to figure out.
How did he know
easy
I'd
to
say
snap,
that?
Okay? So okay. Here is what I want you to do. You need to take my fresh corpse, my fresh, supple, young corpse, okay? Pack it in ice. Not too much ice that my brain bursts, okay? Then what I need you to do, okay? I need you to break into some sort of medical facility. Some sort of medical facility, okay? Now what I want you to do is you need to go get some sort of one of those imaging machines, those MRI machines. You're going to have to kidnap somebody to explain to you guys how to use it because I really don't think you guys can handle this sort of thing on your own. Push my corpse into the MRI. You got it? Push my corpse into the MRI, okay? Now what you're going to do is you want to image the brain. You're going to image the brain. Are you ready for this? Okay? You're going to have to use some sort of electrical impulse. I want you guys to get one of those, CPR machines, and you're going to start pumping juice into me. And it's going to get a little bit of a heartbeat. There's going to be a little bit of a trick to the brain. You're going to get a little kick. You can ask me yes or no questions, and you're going to look for patterns in the MRI.
Oh, come on.
Woo!
Come on.
Just I don't know. I don't know, Brian. Didn't we hear a lot about Ouija boards? Maybe we'll play light as a feather, stiff as a board after we've done my totally awesome scientific plan, which is confirmed by Andrew's tape that was sent from beyond the grave.
Dude, all right, first of all, you're highly scientific. There's never been a case where they've taken a dead body and they walked it over and did an MRI and hooked up a car battery to it, and all of a sudden it could answer yes-no questions. Now,
that just happened.
Actually, from the beyond.
When did they try it, Brian?
Well, I'm sorry, we're joined by Andrew's ghost live on the line. This is incredible.
When did they try this, Brian? I must have missed that Journal of New England of Medicine where they explained how they tried that experiment. Have you thought there might be some sort of moral implications that it takes a couple brave gentlemen? I don't think you're one of them. I think Justin's brave. I think Justin will advance science.
Baby!
You know what? I'm not going to lie.
Andrew's ghost just housed your ass.
No.
I would do that for you, Brian. I would kidnap your dead corpse. I hope your corpse is dead. I would kidnap your dead corpse, smuggle it into a hospital, push it into an MRI machine, get that software they use to try to read brain impulses when people are thinking about keys on a typewriter, and shock the hell out of your brain to try and get some sort of communication from you.
Bad news for you, buddy. Hey, I do have the journal. It was published in the American Journal of WTF, and they even have a freaking photo of what it looked like.
WTF, I'm not familiar with that, Brian. I'm going to look this up here, okay? What does WTF stand for?
The American Journal of STFU published this photo of a zombie brain they found where they tried to reanimate a brain, and it didn't work out so hot. So if that's how you want to look, well, then that's how it's going to go, sir.
By the way, we do actually have some audio from after Andrew is brought back to life by our absolutely scientific methods. This is actually Brian's, the first words out of his mouth after Andrew has come back to life.
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
So there we go. That's your defense.
I absolutely 100% was convinced that the soundbite you would play would be, "Where the white women at?"
No. That's actually Andrew's first words after coming back to life.
Hey, where are the white women at?
All right, do we have time for one more scenario real quick?
Yes, and it is a good one. This one comes in from a longtime listener, Eka Proxy, EKA Proxy follower on Twitter. She posits this theory. Now, of course, you can donate your body parts to science, your organs to people who need them. But all of a sudden, let's say that by hook or by crook, we are contacted and say, hey, listen, you can donate your body to science, and maybe it would be a charity thing. But what if you got paid 7 times what any kind of donation would normally go for? And that's cold, hard cash. That's not just something that's left to your family, and you can get it right now. The only hook is that your body parts are going to go to a special underground restaurant for cannibals.
Wait, so you're saying you have a choice. You can either donate your organs to go to people who need them, or you could get paid today for
right
promising
now
that other people could eat your organs down the road.
But yeah, you have to know that you are going to be giving your organs and body parts to a underground cannibal restaurant where otherwise it could save somebody's life.
This is really good, and because personally, and I'm this nut job that feels like there should be a market for body parts. Like, I feel like there are...
As a father of two healthy young girls, I feel there should be a market for body parts.
No, I'm not saying... I'm
the fresher, the better. Ha ha!
It's a drifter with a van. I think this should be legal.
I'm saying, by the way, all I hear is Leo saying, eat my meat in the middle of my mind.
That's actually their slogan at the underground cannibal restaurant.
That's right. It's
he said, eat my meat.
That's right. But here's the thing. Like, I actually think that if there was a profit motive, here's the weird part, right? There are families who have kids who have, like, they need bone marrow, and unfortunately, bone marrow is one of those things. It's very painful to donate bone marrow. It's a pain in the butt to get tested to find out who you're compatible with, all this stuff. There's no reason to do it. There are people who have money who are like, I want my 9-year-old to live, so I will personally give you a gift of whatever gift you want to please, please, please give me your freaking bone marrow. And unfortunately, we have a society that is so horrified by the prospect of organ harvesting that we're not even willing to entertain the idea. And meanwhile, people are dying.
I don't want to interject too much reason here. the argument, there is the argument of one, the repulsion of the idea of it buying that, but there's also the fear that it becomes a society where the only people selling it are going to be the poor, and you're going to have the rich buying the organs from the poor.
Right, that's the horror. That's what everyone's afraid of, yes.
And, you look up the history of medical skeletons, all right, and it's scary. It's absolutely scary. H.H. Holmes, okay, the first mass murderer that we know, first serial killer in the history of the United States and one of the most prolific, his whole business model was based upon having his hotel during the World's Fair, getting people from out of town, asking them questions like, so, do you have any relatives that are looking out after you? And as soon as they said no, he would kill them, cannibalize the skeleton. There was a young lady, like, he offered to perform a backroom abortion just for the sole purpose of getting her skeleton. You read this whole history and how this continued on. And it's scary about, when you start creating a market for these things. So I'm a libertarian. I think you should be able to sell anything. But I'm personally frightened by whenever I see these kind of markets emerge.
And that is a very fascinating theoretical, but the actual thing that's happening right now is because it's illegal, there is an organ black market where people aren't even – it's like look – let's say everyone's all like, oh, what about the poor? What about the poor? What about the poor? Look, the fact is you got to die at some point. And if you get killed in a motorcycle accident and you happen to be poor, wouldn't it be great if you could sign a form that says, carve me up, sell them for whatever you can get, and then right. What if your daughter can now go to college? Like, there's no way that's possible now. Now we carve it up and we grab them for free. The doctor makes money. The patient pays money. The hospital makes money. The nurse makes money. Everybody makes money except for the guy who donates the organs. What's wrong
with
that?
All right. But let's focus on the issue at hand here, gentlemen. Okay. We can either donate them to science. You can be an organ donor on your license plate or on your license. Or You can sell it to the old Eat a Man Cafe.
Can I?
Tokyo way.
And Brian, to your point, I think it's absolutely valid. Absolutely valid. And I don't argue against that. I just say I try to illuminate the other points of view on that because some of them just creep me out. Back to the important point about, here's the thing that bothers me about that scenario about selling. Let's assume it's legal. I could sell my organs and I can sell them to a cannibal restaurant. I'm not so much bothered by me being eaten after I'm dead. I'm bothered by the idea of me being eaten by cannibals after I'm dead.
I would prefer to be eaten in secret by people who didn't know they were actually eating Andrew.
No, I would rather be my friends who are not career cannibals, as far as I know. If you guys wanted to gather around.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, amateur cannibals are such a more comforting thought in the mind of Andrew Bain.
I don't want to end up in the friggin' yogurt drawer of Jeffrey Dahmer, okay? I don't. I really don't. But I mean, I want somebody to feel like this is a rare treat.
So you're saying you would take no money at all versus money to be, because we live in the world we live in right now. It's like, look, I mean, I've made it very clear. I'd prefer we lived in a world where I could sign a form and then once I'm dead, they could carve up my body and sell it for parts. So at least my family would get some more cash.
I wait for you to die. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. Mustache Pete is getting a little anxious sitting out in the lobby. He needs
to licking his lips. He's
yes, or no from you, Andrew, you, Brian. It will be 7 times what any kind of organ donation would be to you right now in a cashier's check for a promise that your whole body goes to the Cannibal Cafe down Tokyo Way.
What do you say?
It's not that I object to cannibalism per se. I object to career cannibalism. So I'm going to have to take a pass.
Racist. Brian?
If you said it was orphans, orphan cannibals, maybe I'd be okay with it.
Bri?
I'm writing a note right now. And so instead, first of all, I'm absolutely taking the check. And as I want you to picture, I'm dead and the top half is my body. Like I died with this look on my face where I'm just like, right? This yeah. angry look. And I'm holding up this sign right here that says, could have been used. And so I'm dead. I'm holding up the could have been used sign, and I'm like mad. And then the lower half. And by the way, I love the fact that I'm describing this because I know the Photoshoppers will instantly have this photo actually become a reality. But it's like could have been used, and the lower half is some rich billionaire eating my intestines like spaghetti because that's how it's going to play out. Is I'm going to sell my body for science. Or I'm sorry, I'm going to sell my body to cannibals because I can't sell my body to science and to save lives. Justin?
Not only am I taking the money for my body, but after Andrew said no, a day later I'm calling Mustache Pete and I'm saying, dude, Andrew totally changed his mind. yeah, no, you gotta give the money to me though because he's got like a bank thing. So right. I'm going to take Andrew's money as well. And then what is Andrew going to do? Be pissed after he's dead that he's getting eaten?
Yeah. Right. Whatevs. In fact, he's dead now. He's gone. He's gone to the afterlife. We're looking into the great beyond right now. He's up. He's had enough of this. And that's the difference between NSFW and Weird Things. Weird Things, he'd have to stand around and be accountable, and NSFW is just a guest. Hey, man, if you guys like this kind of weird talk, then definitely check out the Weird Things podcast. We're on the new and notable on iTunes. We're doing really well right now. We'd love for you to subscribe and join us. As we wrap things up here, Justin, you got anything you want to plug? First of all, I have noticed that our compliment bomb is well over 150 and counting, right? It's exploded. Is that true?
Yes. Thankfully, the servers over there at thestateonline.net have been refreshed. We are now up and running. As at current count, we are... Oh, wait. Hold on.
Breaking news right here live on NSFW. Justin, what do you got for us, sir?
I think the article might have been pulled.
Oh, no. They pulled the article. They're like, this is too controversial. People only have one opinion about babysitters. And meanwhile, we do have back Mr. Andrew Main. I'm sorry. Was there somewhere you had to go?
I heard a pounding on my door. I heard like this really, really loud pounding, which I went downstairs and nobody was there. So I don't know if a neighbor was knocking on the door, if I was too loud or whatever, but
I'm waiting for the part.
Okay, well, here we go. It is
and there was a ghost.
138 comments. 138 comments on this particular article, Teenage Babysitters Making the Big Bucks by Denise Dunn. If you're listening to this on the podcast version, please do not stop. Make sure that Denise Dunn knows that her articles are, her article is awesome. We are compliment bombing her. I will be personally sending her an email tonight after the show is over. So so she will know that this is a happening for which she has been a major and important cog. But there we go. And please remember Steve Martin to go. Let's keep maybe... You know,
yeah, okay. We have our short-term goal is on the state. Our long-term goal, we got to rock the Steve Martin thing. If he plays one effing note for NSFW, major win for everyone involved. Is that correct, Mr. Justin Robert Young?
That is it, my friend. That is it. Of course, yeah, if you want to keep up with me and Brian and Andrew, it is Justin R. Young for me on Twitter, at Schwood for Brian on Twitter, and at Andrew Main for Twitter. And I will say one more time for Brian, because he won't say it himself, Halloween Horror Nights. If you are in Orlando, if you are in Florida, make sure that you go to Halloween Horror Nights and make sure you go to both shows. Listen, Brian doesn't want to say it because he's humble, but they keep track of how many people come to each show, and we want to make sure that Brian is the one who gets the most people. So go there. Halloween Horror Nights is going to be awesome. I'll be there Thursday, along with Andrew.
All right, Andrew, dude, anything to plug before we... Okay, we're out of here. I'm sorry. have a wonderful weekend, ladies and gentlemen. It's NSFW. We love you guys a million times over.
See you next Tuesday.
Die in a fire. This is NSFW episode. You didn't expect that, did you, man?
I kind of was. I kind of just said, I'm going to commit to it, knowing that if Brian actually saw me doing that in the corner of his eye, he may cut to it. And then I got a little bit excited by it.
All right. Can we do this for real? All right. Here we go. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? Why is that funny?
Because your face looks weird.
It's like what dumb actors do to look smart. They put on glasses so they can then take them off and make some sort of, you know.
Hey, that's one of our longest running bits there on the show. Let me tell you, that's one of our longest.
Now your eyes got kind of squinty too. Are they normally like that?
Yeah, no, I'm a very squinty guy. I mean,
like the mole.
What
man.
Is wrong with your face?
Hey, I'll turn you up. I'll turn you on to turn him off.
Daniel is suggesting this is a double
bitch.
Racist rainbow. I would like to suggest to him that it only seems like that because the exchange rate is so bad in Mexico.
Oh my God, you did not just really. That really just.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all. And
all right, go ahead.
You've been record.
Is the gayest gay thing I've ever seen.
Wait, you did not just cross over into homophobia as well. Is that really what just happened?
Is Justin gay? Because that dance, I would only be homophobic if Justin's actually gay. So tonight,
all right, go ahead.
Nice play.
All right, are we ready?
Yes, we're ready.